you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you. We're glad you're here.
Thank you for joining us this morning for this Friday edition of Mark and Friends. It is the 8th day of October. Tim Nelson here, one of the many voices you've heard throughout the week, sitting in for Mark as he's busy with some behind-the-scenes projects maybe you haven't heard yet, but our Urbana studio that's been in Lincoln Square for, what, 5 years now or so, we're moving from there, and it was just recently announced by Mark that we're going to be over in Marketplace Mall in Champaign between Old Navy and Lynn's Crafters there on the side with Dick's Sporting Goods. So we're all excited about that. And if you would, lift that up in prayer as far as all the arrangements that need to be made. Let's start off this morning with a scripture I came across from 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Every weakness we have is an opportunity for God to show his strength in our life. That's some comforting words for me. I feel inadequate. It's nothing that I want to talk about, you know, a lot, but I often do. So, Jason, thank you for being here. Pastor Jason Schiffo is here, just as he is with Mark on most Fridays. Appreciate your time this morning, Jason.
I'm just so excited to be here for the inaugural episode of Tim and Friends. This is what happens when you get caught up with some special projects behind the scenes.
Yes.
Suddenly, you know, we get a hold of the mic, rebrand it, and boom, we're out the gates.
Next thing you know, you don't hear from Mark for weeks and weeks because he just keeps that machine going. If you know Mark personally, you know he doesn't do a lot of sleeping. He does a lot of praying, does a lot of reading, and he does a lot of acting. Mm-hmm. He gets a lot done.
Yeah, that's for sure. Well, Tim, I agree with you 100%. You know, when I read that verse, when I hear that verse, that God's grace is sufficient. First of all, like you, I think, oh my gosh, you know what? My ability to accept grace, to offer grace, to understand grace is oftentimes insufficient. But not only that, is that I have to step back for a moment and I have to, I have to repent of the fact that there are so many places in my life where I even subtly don't say, well, God's grace is sufficient for that.
Yes.
You know, I seek other kinds of strength, other kinds of means, other kinds of answers to try and deal with a problem, a frustration, a tension. But I don't go, okay, you know what? God's grace is sufficient for that. Mm. And his grace is sufficient for that. And what's fascinating, though, is that sometimes when we, you know, we can go one way or the other. We can say, well, God's grace is sufficient for that. And then we step back and we're just waiting for something miraculous to happen. And God is miraculous. But what I find in my life, too, is God's grace is also very practical. His grace is both miraculous and it is practical. That there are practical graces around all over the place. You know, there was a season of life where my wife and I, we had some difficulties, as all married people do. You know, and I just want to throw that out there because sometimes I think that people think that married people shouldn't have any problems. But when you get two people who come from two different backgrounds and they're trying to live life together and then they have a bunch of other little people in their house, things can get difficult at times and communicating can get difficult at times. Hmm. And my wife and I repeatedly thank God over and over again that he poured his grace out practically in a counselor who was just wise and who was able to allow us to live together in peace in light of our flaws and mutually move together. And so that's a place where I would say that for many, many years, both my wife and I, we weren't living in the sufficiency of God's grace. We were trying to make it work ourselves.
Yeah.
And when we said, God, your grace is sufficient for everything, even in this, that as his grace began to manifest itself, we began to say, oh my gosh, this is amazing. And when you focus on that, you begin to also do something amazing, which is you begin to see the world through God's lenses of grace, through his eyes of grace. You begin to see life through his grace. You begin to see things as a gift, a free gift. Like, oh my gosh, that time with my son was just a gift. Mm. You know, there are a lot of people who don't have that. One of the things we try and say to our kids every night, because one of the tall fences in our house is dinner time. And when I say tall fences, what I mean is that we don't like to allow anything to disrupt that. We think dinner time around the table, even if it's a quick dinner, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, it needs to happen because it's kind of a touch point for our family. It's a connection for our family. And so when we schedule things, we constantly will be saying, okay, but that means we're going to eat dinner at 5, or okay, but that means we're probably going to eat dinner a little later. But dinner doesn't ever come off the table because we want to make sure that we guard that. We have a high fence around that. And one of the things that we say to our kids all around the table when we have dinner together is we say, this is a gift. Our kids have even said to us, Dad, you know, we got some friends and their mom and dad are divorced and they don't get to have dinner together like this. They don't get to look at one end of the table and there's mom and then there's dad at the other end of the table, or they're so busy that dad works late or mom's working another job and they don't get to have dinner together. And, you know, even my kids see that what a gift it is to be able to be around the table together and to be able to share our lives and be able to say, you know, this, what did you do today? What did you do today? Oh my gosh, Dad, you should have seen what God did today, you know, and just have this opportunity to share that time. And sometimes I think that we don't look around with the lenses of grace and say, what a gift everything is that we have around us.
Yeah, we just don't realize the simple blessings of every day, do we?
No, not at all. I mean, Tim, what is one way that you see practical grace being manifested in your life? Not to put you on the spot.
Yeah, no, that's okay. You know, I think in a lot of ways, just in my everyday at times, and it'll catch me by surprise, even being a husband, being a dad, it's supposed to have wisdom, it's supposed to guide your children. You know, there are times I just feel so inadequate. And I know God is there with me. His Holy Spirit is inside me, and any good that comes from me doesn't originate from me. I don't deserve it, but he gives it to me.
Yeah, and I think that that's a place where we tend to struggle. You know, I read a book years ago now, I think it was. I refer to it so often that it feels like I've just read it last week. But Paul Tripp wrote a book on parenting. And in that book, he states 12 things that are important for parenting. And one of the things, the very first thing, is the evidence of grace in your parenting. And not when he says it, he doesn't mean the evidence of you being graceful to your children, but the evidence of God's grace being poured out in that he gave you, he gifted to you these beautiful children that belong to him. You know, we oftentimes want to say, well, these are my kids, but they're not my kids. They're on loan to me from God. God gave them to me. He saw something in me, and he says, you know, I'm going to give you a little responsibility.
They're
a little mouthy at times and sometimes a little antagonistic, but you're really going to like them because they're kind of like you. God has given me these children as a gift. And Paul Tripp would say that that is one of the evidences of God's grace in your life, that even when you think that, man, I'm just not doing too good at a parent. And by the way, as parents, let's all just say amen. There are some days when the best we have is our C game. We all want the A game. Let's just be honest. But listen, the best athletes, the best whoever, don't have an A game every day. And so sometimes the best we have is our C game. But one of the things that is, can be so powerful in the midst of a C game season, and I have one right now. I have a teenage son who's been having some difficulties with school and difficulties with navigating all that. And there are days when I just, you know, kind of hit my head against the desk and say, Lord, I don't feel like I'm getting it today. Like, I feel like it's a C game, maybe a D game, you know? Mm-hmm. And, but in the midst of that, I feel like when I think about God's grace, I feel like I hear the voice of God through the Holy Spirit say,
yeah,
you can do it because I gave them to you.
Yeah.
I trust you. And if we see our children as a grace given to us by God, then we begin to believe that God believes more in us than we actually believe in ourselves. That we begin to say, oh my gosh, the God of the universe, the one who sets the stars in the skies and spins the planets and created all that we know and see in 6 days and rested on the seventh, he actually believes that I can do this thing in such a way that he gave me this child to raise. And his hope is that raising this child will be a challenge, and not a challenge that is insurmountable, but the kind of challenge that consistently causes me to run back to my Heavenly Father to ask him how I can be a good father.
Yeah, without so many of those, what I would call overwhelming circumstances where I feel and seem inadequate, maybe I would not realize the depths of God's grace.
Yeah, not at all. I mean, if God gave us things that we could just kill it at.
Yeah, I want easy day. Right.
Yeah, and we wouldn't need him. We would be like, oh. And he would just be sitting there going, well, you know, this is a wonderful relationship we have. You know, and if you're doing things like that, then sometimes I would question, you know, where your position is with God in terms of desperately needing God. I mean, I think that there is something really powerful, and I want to be careful how I say this, and I really want to be careful how those of you listening right now will hear this. Mm-hmm. But I think there is something powerful and good as a Christian about being in over your head. And not being in over your head to where it's hopeless, mm-hmm. but being in over your head where the only thing you can do is run back to your Heavenly Father, and you can go, Abba, and he goes, I hear you. I hear you. Come on. Come back over here. Let's have a chat. We need to talk about this. This is why Paul, I think, said, pray without ceasing, because Paul was of the mind that there wasn't any place in your life that wasn't going to require going back to the Father. In fact, he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And what he is trying to tell us in that verse in Philippians chapter 4 is that everything in life requires the strength of Christ. Everything in life requires the words of Christ. And praise God that God understood that. That's why he gave us the Holy Spirit, who Jesus told us in the upper room, delivers us back and reminds us of the things that Jesus has said and did. Delivers us back to Jesus, because it's only the strength of Jesus that allows us to do it. I had an older gentleman, and I was talking to him the other day about, you know, just about some of the struggles with my son and some of the things that are going on. He said, don't take this the wrong way, but you know, back in the day when I was dealing with my kids, you know, I would just say Jesus' name. He said, sometimes not always in the best possible light. But he said, as I began to draw near to Jesus, as I began to journey with Jesus, as I began to grow in my faith, what I understood is that the things that drove me to say his name were all the places that I desperately needed his name. I desperately needed to say, Jesus, I need you in this moment. Jesus, I'm in over my head. Jesus, help me. And what a grace that is when we're brought back to a place where we go, I desperately need the Father. You know, I had a friend in Peoria. He's a pastor, and he wrote a really great book that our Great News Radio friends studied a number of years ago. His name is Jim Powell. He since has moved from Peoria and now is in Arizona. And Jim Powell said that the lowest point of his life came after, and Jim is an incredibly gifted person, gifted writer, gifted speaker. I mean, when you sat in the room with Jim, you just said, man, how can he do it? He makes it look effortless, you know. And Jim said, you know, the scariest time in my life, the lowest point in my life was one morning. He said, I woke up and I was standing in front of the mirror and I was brushing my teeth. And I looked in the mirror and I said, you know what? I'm pretty good. I bet you I could do this without Jesus. And he said he caught himself in that moment and said, wait a second. He said there was this distinct smell of sulfur in that moment, that he actually was believing that he was so gifted and so good that he could do this apart from God's grace. And we have to be careful of that. You know, if I have a friend of mine also who says to me that the most dangerous place, the place that he is so worried about people, is in their giftedness. Because it's in our giftedness that we'll believe that we're the gift to the world and not God's grace. That God's grace is not the gift to the world. And God chooses to communicate his grace through us. But that in itself is a gift. You know, that's why I think Paul always had this incredibly, some people would like to say a low view of himself, but I would actually say a high view of God, where Paul would say, you know, you want to talk about the biggest sinner in the room? That's me. I'm the chief of sinners. Or Paul would say crazy things like, when I'm weak, I'm actually really strong. I got the thorn in my flesh, and a lot of you guys would give up over this thing. But me, it's made me strong. It's caused me to be reminded continually. And we need continual reminders that we desperately need God's grace.
Yeah, you know, just hearing you say everything you just said is making me more thankful for hard situations. You know, it seems like I don't know, I let him get me down too much. And you're right. When you're pushed up against the wall, your head sometimes comes up and you're realizing where you need to look for your strength, or at least that's me.
I would agree totally. I think that we constantly need that. And so isn't that interesting? You know, we opened up the program and we talked about prayer. Mm-hmm. And isn't it interesting that when Jesus asked the question by his disciples, how do we pray? Jesus gave them a prayer that in the first petitions set our affections upon God. It says, "Our Father who is in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." You know, the prayer, it sets our affections, it orientates our life, and it aligns us with God's kingdom. It aligns our eyes back to the King and his kingdom, because the most dangerous thing that happens for us as human beings, even Christians, is that we begin to build these little kind of kingdoms in our lives, whether it's our houses or our businesses or our aspirations, whatever they are. But we begin to build these little kingdoms. Every smaller kingdom, I believe this all in my heart, every smaller kingdom robs us of seeing the kingdom of God, because we're just bent in our own hearts to build walls that block us from seeing the kingdom of God. Hmm. And Jesus' prayer is, "Our Father who is in heaven." And that is so beautiful to me, Tim, because right out the gate, Jesus says he is close and he is warm and he is loving as a father is. But he's also the King of heaven. He's the King of eternity. He's the King of all things. And he's not their king. He's not someone else's king. The first words of Jesus' prayer is a prayer of unity, isn't it? It says, "Our Father who is in heaven." He's not just someone else's father. He's your father too. And then I love that he says, "Holy is your name," or some versions say, "Hallowed is your name," because holy means to be set apart, to be different, to be absolutely other, which means that this father and this king who gives himself to us is unlike anything that we know. We can't define it. We don't know. We can't wrap our head around it, because he's so different than we are. And that's his name. That's his identity. That's who he is. You know, it's funny because people will say, "Well, God is love." And I'll say, "Yeah, that's true. But you got to start in his holiness." "Oi, what do you mean?"
Yes.
"Because his holiness is the foundation for all that he is."
That's right.
In fact, I've gotten to the point now, Tim, where when I talk about God's attributes, I always say his holy mercy, his holy love, his holy forgiveness.
Oh, that's so good.
Because I don't want us to get mixed up with my idea of love, which is fleeting. It lasts a little while. It gets tired. It gets weary. And sometimes it's conditional. But God's love is never, you know, while we were still enemies, God poured his love out for us. And then what is the prayer that Jesus tells us say? It says that his kingdom has come in Jesus Christ, but it is still coming, which means it is unfurling like a carpet. It is every day there are new things to see and experience and to be a part of. And not only that, but that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The last part of that, I had an aha moment a couple of weeks ago, because I was reading in the Bible where it says that Christ is the head of the body, the church. And where is, after his ascension, the head at? It's in heaven. And this prayer tells us, this prayer foreshadowed the coming of that scripture, because this prayer says that things on earth will be as they are in heaven, meaning that when God's people who are called by his name are seeking him, setting their affections upon him, and the Spirit is mediating that, the Spirit is delivering us back to Jesus Christ to remind us of what Jesus Christ has done and will do, and then it's at that moment that the head is speaking to the body on earth, the body being his church. And so this prayer is such a prayer of aligning us and orientating us to God's affections and who God is. And in all of that, what a gift. What a gift. This isn't like I have to hope that geographically I have the right connection. You know, like some people are living out in the country and they're like, "I don't know, I'm still on dial-up." And there are other people who are like, "Well, I'm on 4G, but maybe if I lived here, I could have 5G. As believers, we all have 10G connection to God. What a gift it is that when I talk to God, the Bible tells me that he inclines his ear to hear me, that he desires to know what his children are saying. And when I think about that, there are times that I'm repentant and sad, because that should then be my posture to my own children, because what a gift of grace they are to me.
Pastor Jason Schiffo is with us, just like most Fridays here on Mark and Friends. What
This is Tim and Friends.
It's Tim and Friends today. It'll be Mark and Friends again soon. I could feel it. You could just, you know, sense Mark's ready to get back in front of the microphone.
Well, once he finds out it was Tim and Friends, that'll be a motivator.
Oh, there you go. Oh, we miss Mark. Thank you for all that encouragement today. Hopefully that will take you to another level of your walk in faith with Jesus today as you go throughout the day today. Appreciate you, Jason.
Well, thank you, Tim. You are such a great encouragement to the radio listening audience. And if they could only see all that's kind of going on behind the microphone and behind the scenes, I think that they would be so appreciative of all that you are doing. So thank you so much for the way God is leveraging your gifts for the kingdom.
Listening friend, thank you for joining us here on Mark and Friends. If you want to hear the full program again with Pastor Jason Schiffo, just go to our website, greatnewsradio.org, or you could go over to wluj.org. Have a great weekend, and thank you for listening today.